12. And I'm going to transition over to the pulpit here in the center. Get myself turned on here.
First,
yeah, we on? Check. Yeah. I have a little thing to hand out. If I could have a couple of volunteers again. Who were those ushers that just jumped up? So thank you, Lucas. Thank you, Michael. I think there's one for about everybody. You may need to share. If you're sitting with a spouse, you can share. Otherwise, you get your own. Okay. All right. We've been in a message series here called Stewardship, a Matter of Discipleship. And we've been looking at spiritual gifts lately. It's been a couple weeks since we did, because last week was Communion Sunday, and we took some time in God's Word to look at that the Lord's table specifically. But I want to get back to spiritual gifts this morning. And I called my message last time Spiritual Gifts 101. This is like Spiritual Gifts 102, okay? So we'll kind of be like in Bible college class a little bit today. If you've been to Bible college or seminary, you might kind of feel like you're there. I hope that's okay. I hope you don't mind. But we're going to keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12. There's going to be a number of passages that I reflect on. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. We thank these guys. Jumping up. Thanks for serving. Right on. So today's Spiritual Gifts 102. A little bit of recap, though, from a couple weeks ago. We looked at where do spiritual gifts come from. Okay, that they come from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very clear, very beautifully Trinitarian there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in those the early verses there, 4 to 6. We looked at who. Who receives spiritual gifts? Very important question. Each believer. Each believer receives spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 11. There's other verses, but that was the who. And then we looked at the why. And this, the response to the why came in four parts. And we looked at the common good of the church. We looked at faith encouragement from Romans 1. Ministry equipping, Ephesians 4. Glory of God, 1 Peter 4. Really, the four books that include teaching on spiritual gifts in the New Testament really give us this beautiful fourfold rationale for why we have spiritual gifts. And that was great. Today, I want us to look at the what. And not just the what, but we're going to start there. What are the spiritual gifts? Now, you've probably got this in your hand now. And I've got it on the screen as well. We might ask, well, what are the spiritual gifts, Pastor? We've looked at the who and the where and the why, and what are they? Well, what you have in front of you is a biblical list of spiritual gifts, okay? You got the biblical list of spiritual gifts. Now, something should be very apparent as you look at this diagram, right? You have at the top the scripture references where they're found. So in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, the lists are different compared to the books that they're found in, aren't they? There's not one list that's repeated every time the Apostle Paul talks about spiritual gifts or Peter talks about spiritual gifts. There's variations in the gifts. And this teaches us something. I believe it teaches us that because of these variations, there's probably not one set of gifts. There's 20 listed here. Roughly, some argue that there's 19, some think there's 21, or depending on the person you talk to or the books you read. But because there's a variety and that there's a variety of passages, I think it teaches us that there are varieties of gifts, and probably gifts that aren't even mentioned in the Bible. Okay, if it was one list repeated over and over and over again, we would look at that and we would say, okay, this is it. But that's not what we find here. So there are at least 20, but I think there could be others, and I think there likely are others. The fact is, you and I are unique. Can you just say that? I'm unique.
I'm special. You are. You are. We're kind of like spiritual snowflakes. Got a lot of those outside this weekend. As you grow in your walk with God, as you grow to serve one another, the uniqueness of God's gifting for you comes to the surface. The unique thing of how God has gifted you comes to the surface. It's almost like these 20 are like the palette and the artists sitting in front. God as the artist is looking at the canvas, and you're that canvas, and he's dipping his brush in this and that, and he's painting you. You're special. You're unique. Like, it's interesting. If we talked about, say, the gift of teaching here this morning, there are probably different people here with the gift of teaching, but that gift of teaching is going to look a little different depending on who you talk to. So one person's gift of teaching may be expressed this way. Another person's gift of teaching may be expressed another way. Some have a great gift to teach children. For years, Daniel Ellen came up here once a month and did a kid's lesson, didn't he? And he could communicate spiritual truth with kids in a really neat way. So I saw the gift of teaching there expressed beautifully with kids between Daniel and our little ones. And I've been to churches, and you've been to in classes where I've seen someone teach students or teach adults, and that's a different kind of teaching, isn't it? There are parallels. Sure, there's some things that are similar, but the way that a person might teach that audience isn't the same as the way someone might teach children, but it can be done dynamically and certainly empowered by the Spirit of God. So there's diversity in the gifts, there's diversity in their expressions, but the point here that I want to make is that you have a gift and you're unique in that gift, and it could be more than one gift. It could be this blend of gifts. Now, there are different ways of discerning and learning the gifts that we've been given. Put your hand up if you've done a spiritual gifts test. If you've done a test, there's a lot of you have done tests before. Great. I did one recently, actually, just a couple of weeks ago. I was waiting in a coffee shop at about a half an hour. So I found one online. And in that half an hour, I did the spiritual gifts test. They'll ask maybe 50 or 100 questions, and you answer on the scale of 1 to 5, is this likely or unlikely, or strongly believe, feel this way or not? And after you do all these questions and fill them out, they send you a little email. This is how of these 20. Usually they use these 20 or 19. They tell you, okay, you scored high on this gift, and this gift. And I was glad to see Pastor Shepherd was number one for mine. okay, thank you, Lord. I think I'm in the right place. But the reality is they're man-made, right? Spiritual gifts tests are man-made tests. I wouldn't say, do a test and then stick your life on it. But they can be helpful in discerning, okay? So I was gonna actually have us all do a spiritual gifts test this morning. But when I timed myself and knew that it took like at least a half an hour, I was like, maybe not. But you can, on your own time, and it might be waiting in a coffee shop for someone, or make a point of doing a spiritual gifts test. You can sit down at a computer or use a tablet or phone or whatever. I can print one off for you if you'd rather do one by hand. They're helpful. They're helpful. But again, don't put all your eggs in that basket, okay? Because again, spiritual gifts tests are humanly made and derived. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt do a spiritual gifts test and this is the one to choose. And I think we learn our spiritual gifts primarily as we grow in our walk with God. We're called to love God. We're called to love others, right? Jesus has made those things so abundantly clear. And as we do those things, as we love God, love others, I believe the gifts that he's given us come to the surface. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 1? We talked about this a few weeks ago. He said, 1:11-12, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. What he means by that is I long to see you to share, to impart, and to let you be the benefit of my spiritual gift, And he does that because he wants to strengthen the Roman church. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So as I said a few weeks ago, what is something that you do that encourages the faith of another in our family of God here at Gilmore, or the family of God in this community? What do you do that's blessing and encouraging faith and strengthening faith in others? Likely, that's a spiritual gift that you're... Maybe it's you write a letter. Maybe it's you give generously. Maybe you serve. The list could be one of these or others. That's a good indication of probably where God has gifted you. But what I want to do here this morning is look at a few other principles with regards to spiritual gifts. Because it's a big topic, and there can be confusion. There can be just some clarity needed on a few things. So I've got a few areas. We're going to talk about gifts versus the gift, okay? The gifts of the Spirit versus the gift of the Spirit. I want to talk about talents versus gifts, like unique special abilities versus gifts, and I want to talk about fruit versus gifts. So there's the gifts of the Spirit, but we also know there's something called the fruit of the Spirit, right? So let's walk through some of these things for the remainder of our time this morning. I want to start with this: gift and gifts. Okay, so we need to make a clear distinction between the gift of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So when you read or hear someone mention the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's referring to the Holy Spirit himself, the coming helper, also called the comforter, the promised one by Christ before his death and resurrection. Some of you will remember from our study in John these very verses. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given to the church by God, promised by Jesus before he was resurrected. I'm going to send the helper. The helper is the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit will be with us forever. He is the Spirit of truth. That is the Holy Spirit. 50 days after Jesus was resurrected came the day of Pentecost. And on that day, the great gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out. We read that in Acts chapter 2. If you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to get fresh on that. Acts chapter 2. Every member of the body of Christ, without discrimination, is given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every member in the body of Christ, without discrimination, is given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's another great verse. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You were sealed. When you said yes to Jesus, God sealed you with his Holy Spirit. It didn't come in two steps. It didn't come in like yes to Jesus, and then sometime later, as you grew, as you learned more, then he gave you the Holy Spirit. No, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came within you. Amen? That's what we're taught. That not just here, but that's what the Bible teaches us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, aren't given blanketly to every believer, like everyone gets all 20 or everyone gets all however many they are. They're given individually. They're given specifically. They're given personally. So the gift, that is the Holy Spirit, is absolute and forever. The gifts, on the other hand, may waste away like muscles that are never exercised. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us specifically that the gifts he gives us are taken away from us if we don't use them. However, in Matthew 25, Jesus told a parable. The parable of the talents. And in that story, three servants were given a talent. A talent is a weight, a measurement weight. So we don't know, was it a talent of gold? Was it a talent of silver? It was a weight. So it was a currency measurement. The first two servants were faithful with their talent. And when the master returned from a time away, they had something to show to the master. They had been faithful stewards, the master said. And the master multiplied what they were given because they were faithful to it. Now, the third servant, if you remember the parable, was he faithful with his talent? He wasn't. He buried it. He didn't use it. And he was condemned for being unfaithful. In fact, his talent was taken away and given to the ones who had more and were using them. So in light of that parable, one could argue that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can waste away or be taken away if they're not faithfully used for the Master, our Lord and God. Again, there's more to that parable. If you haven't read it, read Matthew 25. That important lesson, because it's a lesson on stewardship. It's a lesson on faithful stewardship. In Psalm 51, verse 11, David prays, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Remember singing the song, "Create in me a clean heart"? And we get to that line, "And cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." That's Old Testament teaching. That's David's understanding, and in David's time, that's how we understood it. But we know, as New Testament believers, the Holy Spirit isn't taken from us. We're sealed. We looked at the verse a minute ago. We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So I think we got to change those words a bit, actually. You know, it's great to sing the Psalms. I love singing the Psalms. But we need to bring that into the new covenant. David was praying and he was writing pre-Pentecost, pre-cross, pre-resurrection, pre-promise of the helper by the Messiah. The Holy Spirit and his coming is not and was not dependent on our petition. He has come. Sometimes we pray, "Lord, come. Come to this place today." And as we prepare for service, sometimes we think of that. As we enter the church, we enter this space and we say, "Lord, come, come, Lord." The truth is, he's here. He's here. The Holy Spirit has been given. What I think a more accurate way of praying is, "Lord, make your presence manifest. Help us to understand and help us to grow in the consciousness of your presence and power." He's here. And I think it's a thinking change that needs to happen there more than anything else. Let us become more aware of your presence. We've seen that in the Torwalt, the song by the Torwalts about the Holy Spirit. There's that line, "Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us become more aware of your presence." I think that's a more accurate understanding. So what encouragement to know that God, by his Spirit, has been given to each of us, and with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives come innumerable graces and comforts. So there's the gift of the Spirit poured out at Pentecost, given to every believer as a seal. The third person of the Trinity, the promise of Christ, given without discrepancy. And then, to be differentiated, there is the gifts of the Spirit, various supernatural abilities and endowments that are individually given. Are we okay on that? I think that's understood. Secondly, I want to touch on here this morning is the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit and the gifts. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, many of you will know, are 9 character qualities. We find them listed in Galatians chapter 5. If you know the verses, just read it with me. But repeat it out loud. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Listen carefully, though. When it comes to the spiritual gifts, the Scripture teaches that they are distributed as God wills. As God wills. And this differs from the fruit of the Spirit. If you look at, if you got 1 Corinthians 12 open, just look at there, verses 8 to 11. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as he wills. So, the scripture doesn't say, to one, God gave love. To one, God gave peace. To one, God gave patience, even though this man is a patient man. To one, God gave faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is not apportioned that way, is it? The gifts of the Spirit are apportioned that way. There is a difference, right? So, in the Corinthian church, we saw, and what we see is that the gifts were plenty. However, they were lacking in the fruit. They were lacking in the fruit of the Spirit. When it comes to discerning genuine faith, did Jesus say, by their spiritual gift, you will know them? Did Jesus say, by their gift, you will know them? What did Jesus say? Some of you know this. By their what? I heard it. By their fruit, you will know them. By their fruit, not by their gift. And sometimes we get that backwards. We see someone with a spiritual gift, and we think they're really genuine in their faith. Look how they are using that gift for God. But I tell you, that's not what Jesus said. He said by their fruit, by their character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the litmus tests of genuine faith. You and I have all heard and seen. We've seen these stories. We hear them. They get in the newspaper. You know, influential Christian minister, very gifted teacher, very gifted leader, falls from grace. Moral failure or whatever. And there are a couple this year, big name Christian leaders in the States. Their stories are plastered over the New York Times and other major publications. You see, they're gifted, yes. The gift was there. The gift was even, one could argue, they were very much operating with their spiritual gift of teaching or leadership or whatever. But on the inside, right, where the character comes, the fruit of the Spirit, the test that Jesus wants us to use, showing something different. Okay? So we need to differentiate the two. And we need to remember what Jesus said. Did he say, true test of discipleship is if someone speaks in tongues or if someone performs a healing? No. He said, by their fruit you will know them. Sanders put it well, Oswald Sanders. The presence of spiritual fruit is a far more reliable evidence of spirituality than the possession and exercise of spiritual gifts. Man looks on the outside, but where does God look at? Looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Sanders also notes the enemy can imitate spiritual gifts, but he is baffled to copy the fruit of the Spirit. The enemy can imitate spiritual gifts, but he is baffled to copy the fruit of the Spirit. There are differences between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But you know what? There are also two significant commonalities. I believe this is the Lord helped me to understand this. Just yesterday. Ever used epoxy glue? And it's been a while, but if I'm not mistaken, it's the glue that comes in two tubes and you mix it together. Am I right? Do I got it right? Okay. It's been a while since I've used this stuff. But both, right? Both are necessary for its effective use. You know, the two parts of the epoxy tube mixed together are what's necessary for the glue to be effective. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit also, I believe, require two parts. They stand on two legs, faith and love. Faith and love. The fruit and the gifts walk on two legs, faith and love. The gifts of the Spirit are given to those who have faith in Jesus. Those who have put their trust in His name unto salvation are given a gift or gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what grows in the character of the believer of faith. Right? So the gifts are given to those who have faith. And the fruit of the Spirit is an outworking of those who is living out that faith. So you see how faith is common in both? And secondly, one might say that faith is part of the soil for growing the fruit and the gifts. The second thing is love. The first fruit mentioned in Galatians 5 is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Genuine love is the mark of the church. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by the way you love one another. By the way you love one another. Love is foundational to the spiritual gifts as well. 1 Corinthians 13, that famous chapter about love, is sandwiched between the largest bodies of teaching about spiritual gifts. We learn from 1 Corinthians 13 that the spiritual gifts must be anchored in love. So you see how love is so intimately woven into both the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They're different, but they're both anchored in faith and love. So we've looked at gifts and the gift, the fruit and the gifts. Now what about talents and gifts? Perhaps you're wondering, do I have a spiritual gift in a certain area? Or is that just a talent? Am I just able to do that certain thing well? When I watch a little Sunday afternoon football, confession, I watch a little Sunday afternoon football. I try not to watch too much. Got the kids in the room there. Yes, I'm with them. I'm paying attention. When I watch a guy like Drew Brees or Odell Beckham throw the ball or catch the ball, like I think, man, those guys are talented. Someone might say they have a gift. You ever heard that used in the context of you see someone really talented, maybe an artist, right? Might not have any inkling of faith, might not have an ounce of faith or ounce of love for God, but you see what they do and you're like, boy, that guy's got a gift, or that girl's got a gift, or boy, they're talented. I think when we use the gift terminology, we can get confused, can't we? So there's a difference. What is common is that they both come from the same source. God is the creator of our very DNA, right? He's the creator of everything. So it's reasonable to conclude that our abilities ultimately come from the same place as the gifts of the Spirit. They come from God. But what's the difference? J. Warner Wallace, in a neat article I found this week, points out a few things. Answers this question. He points out that talents are inherited, gifts are received. Talents are inherited, gifts are received. 1 Peter 4:10, we looked at a few weeks ago. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Gifts are received. This is a key differentiating point. Natural abilities are inherited and developed in the context of your family life. Growing up, I saw my brother do great artwork. And my brother, he's also a pastor, and we did sports and stuff together. But when it come to like drawing or painting, he was always just like way ahead of a lot of people in that, especially me, okay? I took art. I did one course in art, and the teacher said to me, don't take art again. I kid you not. I still got a scar. You can tell. You see, my grandfather and his sister and some of my relatives on that side were kind of like amateur artists. I have in my office one of my grandfather's watercolors. I should have brought it out. At my house, we have some of his art. I think genetically, that gene, that part of the DNA strand went to my brother, but it missed me. You know what that's like in the family? You ever look at some of your brothers and sisters and say, oh, they got that gene, and they got that gene, and I got this, you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. Gifts are received. Talents are inherited. Talents are inherited. Spiritual gifts are gifted. They're given to God's children, and natural talents are passed on when we're born. Spiritual gifts are passed on when we're born again. Amen? That's the way to look at it. You get a talent when you're born. You get a gift when you're born again. Amen. Secondly here, talents are possessed by the saved and the unsaved. Gifts are possessed by the saved. Okay? Talents are possessed by the saved and unsaved. Gifts are possessed by the saved. Everyone, believer or not believer, has some sort of talent. But only believers have spiritual gifts. Writing to the Corinthians there, again in 1 Corinthians 12, you still have it open there. Look at 4 to 7 this time. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each. To each who? To each believer. Paul's writing to the church. So we need to understand the recipients of that message are members of the church. They're part of the body of Christ. So you are, as a believer, are part of the body of Christ. So you are a recipient of a gift of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are empowered by God who lives in us by the Spirit. Talents are not empowered that way. Talents are empowered by our DNA. Okay? Talents are empowered by perhaps the environment you grew up in, and maybe you were put into hockey every week or put into an art class every week, and you got a propensity to something because that was your environment, that's what you were given, that was part of your DNA. Spiritual gifts, on the other hand, are from above. They're a whole different level. Now, an unbeliever might be a talented teacher or leader. But only followers of Jesus can be empowered with the gift of teaching or leading. And that empowerment is whole other. It brings that leadership or that teaching or that or whatever the gift is to a different level, different dimension. Believers may have natural talent, but in addition, we're also gifted supernaturally by God. Thirdly, and this is where they come together again. We are talented for God's glory, and we're gifted for God's glory. Amen? So just like the talent or the gift have its ultimate source in God, so the outworking, so the use of that talent and the use of that gift ultimately must be to the glory of God. Their ultimate purpose is to honor Him. Whether it's natural ability or a spiritual empowered gift, we are called to glorify God in our lives. When I began the message series a few weeks ago, we highlighted Psalm 24, verse 1, which says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." And the tagline that day was, "It all belongs to God," right? It all belongs to God. So whether it's talent, whether it's a gift, natural ability stemming from our genes or supernatural endowment from above, we are called to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, we'll end with this. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. How about we read it together? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. That you have supernaturally endowed every believer in this room with a spiritual gift. And Father, there are some in here that know what that gift or gifts is and what they are. And there are some that are not quite sure. And so Lord, as we grow in you, I pray that you give us greater understanding. I pray that the spiritual gifts that you have given will be matured in the body of Christ. And Father, that we would ask ourselves the question again this week. How can I encourage faith in a brother or sister in the Lord this week? What can I do to strengthen someone in their walk with you? And I pray that we would be faithful to do that, to follow through. Whether it's a serving gift, whether it's a speaking gift, whatever it might be, may we be found faithful. May we be found willing to serve, to use our gift for you. We pray that we won't keep them on the shelf, but they will be exercised for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's stand together as we close in song.